Now, let me just give you an idea of what we're going to be doing now. Very informal. Come to the final session of the conference. You've all lasted so well. I know you look a bit jaded and so on, but you'll pick up after lunch, no doubt. But this is final leg. And we've tried various ways of ending a conference, because I think endings are quite important at a conference. You know, you go into conference time, and I think it's quite important to have an ending. Some have worked better than others, I have to say, in previous years. But this year, what we've decided to do was to have an ending where we invite three of our plenary people, really to help us to think about the reflections, some reflections and comments that they've got on the conference, but to open that up to you as well. So it doesn't need to be terribly profound, but I think it'd be nice for us to just share in a few minutes any thoughts that you have about the conference, and Mike and colleagues will stimulate us, I'm sure, with some of their thoughts and comments on the conference as well. Is that all right, Mike? So, who wants to kick off? Why don't you kick off, Mike?
A couple of reflections and a couple of metaphors that I picked up in relation to engagement. And I'll attribute one to myself. It started off as the university as a polo mint. But that was far too parochial, I think, because half of you will not know what a polo mint is. But if then I say talk about the university in terms of it, the way in which it engages with its communities, the university is a donut. So here, if you imagine a donut with a hole in the middle, and somehow in the very middle of that, the university, there are some universities whose engagement sort of misses out a lot of stuff in the middle. In other words, I'm talking about the emphasis on internationalization and engaging with external communities, whether it be international student community or international research, and forget where they come from and where they're based. So they miss out that bit in the middle. And the other one I can't attribute to myself, but to Peter, who's left, and that's the university as a cemetery. And again, in relation to engagement, the university is a cemetery. Don't rely on the people inside to change. So that's my kickoff, anyway, for stimulation. So, in other words, the relative roles of different types of institutions and where they engage in relation to external communities, and is there a contradiction, I suppose, between having an international role and having a local role, and the ways in which inside institutions we can develop change.
Okay, thanks, Mike. We'll go on to Paul, and then we'll have Lisa, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Paul?
I don't really have anything to say, to be honest, because I feel like I spoke for so long this morning, so I'm much more interested to answer questions, really.
Okay. Let's just pass the mic on for Lisa, see if she wants to say anything.
So these are just some questions. Have we thought through the kinds of strategies sufficiently we need in a period of increasing marketisation? And I have to say to you, you've got no idea what marketisation is yet. We are well advanced down that path in Australia. I think our New Zealand colleagues perhaps can teach us the most, because they've been through the marketisation strategy and come out the other end. So it might be helpful for us to talk to them. The other thing is, how far can we use the existing discourse before it becomes something else? How far can we go inside the tent? I mean, I am absolutely inside the tent, but I sometimes wonder just to what extent that's going to produce any change. How far can we take up the discourse of human capital theory and not social justice before we completely lose the plot, I suppose? And I think we need to think about the distinction between social inclusion and social justice to a greater extent, because we have this big social inclusion strategy in Australia, but what that means is we focus on the deficits of the excluded, and we ask, why aren't they included? What's wrong with them? and that sort of thing. And what we need to be looking at actually is the social relations of advantage and disadvantage, the social relations of privilege. And when you do that publicly, you don't get a very good response. In fact, it can cause quite a big response from universities who don't like having demonstrated just to what extent they are bastions of privilege when you have the bad manners to point out how many people come from the highest socioeconomic background at that university or things like that. But I think that that's the sort of thing that we have to start doing. Otherwise, it just does become a deficit discourse. So I suppose those are the sorts of issues that I'm wrestling with at the moment in my own practice, combined with completely, utterly ruthless, prosaic, pragmatic, do what you got to do. You know, for me, the dilemma is, what's the relationship between the two?
Okay, thanks, Lisa, for that. Right, now, I'd really like to do what Paul's suggesting. Actually, I'd expect nothing more of someone like Paul than to say, I want to hear from everyone else, because that, you know, so public engagement is that. So let's open it up for other comments, either on what people have said, or points and issues that you'd like to kind of leave the conference with other colleagues thinking about. Who wants to make a contribution? Nick, would you like to say something?
We found out that this conference were actually both the same age. very different backgrounds. You never did finish the story about the guy who made lamps on the tips in for the Greater London Enterprise Board, but we'll come back to that another day.
I'm sure we will.
For me, it's... I actually do believe that we are in a different position. The conversation John and I had were about the, I guess what you might call the kind of the early access movement, and comparing that to some extent where we are now. We are in a step change society for me than where we were in the late 70s and the early 80s. But John's point was very upbeat and optimistic, and when I began to reflect on it and had the task of hacking to rewrite my briefing for an external audit for the organisation I work on, the recently published HE White Paper, I actually looked at the list of activities that are identified in the social mobility chapter, and all of those wouldn't have been there in 1980. And so, as one does, reflects when you can't sleep in a hotel room, which is the experience I usually have in hotels, actually, we now do have some structural changes that are actually very positive for the access, widened participation, and public engagement. And I thought Paul again gave me a different spin, and I've got to go away and think about the things that he said, because I'm pretty slow thinking. So I guess I'm coming away now with a much more positive spin. Is that clearly we've got strategies in place, access agreements, WOPSers. It's clearly been a hefty strategy now for a decade. Whatever we may think about the coalition, that's absolutely central. It's a key chapter in the White Paper. Widening participation and access is a social problem that is accepted now by successive governments for 20 years, and we do have some structures in place that we can build on. I think what we need to look on, take on board is Lisa's comments about what does that look like? It's a horrible word, isn't it? In a more marketized system, how can we learn from international colleagues such as Australia and New Zealand and the States probably? And so I go away a little bit more positive than I was 3 days ago.
Okay, thank you, Nick. I won't ask people to, because I'm keen to gather up comments from the floor. Some other contributions, please.
Thank you. I'm interested in what you said this morning, Paul, about working with the National Union of Students and talking about the discourse of customers or partners in education. And I'd like to hear more about where that conversation is going and what we can do about it.
Paul, do you want to respond to that now?
I was at the QAA conference yesterday, the Quality Assurance Agency, and what was fascinating was that the QAA has recognised that student voice is incredibly important in defining quality for the sector going forward. And they were all, it was the most bizarre experience being there, because it was like there were two worlds colliding, really, because there were a lot of people who looked like they should have clipboards, and that they'd been going around thinking about quality in a kind of auditing mentality for many years. But there was also a very significant proportion of students there, and there was a Twitter wall, you know, and the students were coming up with all kinds of slightly ironic comments about the makeup of the panel and who they reminded them of. So there was a real clash of young, slightly irreverent voices and very sort of serious and perhaps more old-fashioned approaches to quality. But it actually worked. There was lots of dialogue and discussion. There was real enthusiasm from people. I talked to a few people who were on the board of the QAA who said that for a long time they'd wanted to see much more student voice, and they were delighted to see that it was happening. And so I suppose that gave me quite a lot of confidence that people are working together because they are all really concerned. And the consistent theme through the conference yesterday was about a fork in the road between marketization, creating a consumer relationship, and trying to take it in a different direction. And I think there was a real challenge from various people to everybody who was at the conference, which was, how on earth do we make the case for a different kind of relationship? And actually, we've not been very good at it, and we have to get better at it very quickly. We have to be, you know, what does this thing, a learning community, actually mean? Why is it better to work with students in a mutual way? Why is their engagement and their involvement and their responsibility for their learning really important? You know, actually, how do you make that case, and how do you make it really clear that that matters? And so I suppose there was a real sense of opportunity, but also a real sense of if we don't get this right very quickly, it's going to go horribly wrong. So it was just really interesting, but to see the QAA, you know, actually taking this on board and seeing the students there in such force was great. But sitting behind that is a whole host of work that's been going on. So there are now toolkits around a partnership approach, and the NUS are going to push that really hard over the next 12 months because they themselves believe really strongly, from what I can make out, that they don't want the other kind of relationship to take over. So they're great, you know, they're great allies in that.
Okay, thank you. I think we've got time for one or two final contributions before we go and have some lunch. Who else wants to speak? Don't have that horrible feeling that I have sometimes at conferences when you're on the train going home thinking, I wish I'd have said that. I wish I'd have said that.
As a marginalized department in our university, continuing studies or continuing education, I've long worked on the premise of it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And we'll continue to do so. But I want to say thank you, because this has really been very enlightening in crossing the waters and seeing how access and continuing education is operated in universities. I'm actually really curious why there aren't any more Canadian participants, so I'm going to go back and advertise for them. So thank you.
Thank you as well. We look forward to more Canadian input and voices in Derry. One last contribution, I think. Yeah, one here, and then we'll finish. So you have the honour, privilege, pressure, whatever it is, of being the last voice of the conference.
I suppose I just wanted to say that I would prefer to see us as a donut, universities as a donut, rather than universities as a cemetery. If we are a cemetery, are we the Walking Dead? I would like to think not, and that really we should see ourselves with responsibilities and commitments to fulfil and, you know, take on the stuff that we've heard, and that it is down to us to make things happen as well and to try and work together, work strategically with students, with communities, to make positive changes.
I think that's a perfect ending, so thank you all for a great conference. Thank you.